On today's show, Christmas is here, and we go back and we look at all the offerings at Universal Orlando Resort. We take a look at the Star Tours update at Disneyland and Disney's Hollywood Studios. And we go back and we touch on IAPA 2017.
And we talk about The Walking Dead, Coco, and Justice League. All this and more on the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of the Thrill Geek Podcast. I am once again joined by Barry.
Hey, everybody.
And it is it's Christmas. It's crazy.
It feels like we're just it's not even Thanksgiving and it's Christmas.
And that's just it. It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving week.
Yes.
It goes by so quick. Today we're going to talk about Universal Orlando and all of their Christmas stuff going on, which is a lot. They've really upped it this year. So we're going to go ahead and dive into what they have going on this year between the new parade, the projection show on Hogwarts Castle, just all sorts of really great stuff going on this year at Universal Orlando. And Barry, you've been able to see everything. I've just seen the Potter projection show. I haven't seen the parade yet, but you have. So let's start there.
Well, it's a completely brand new parade this year, Universal's Holiday Parade featuring Macy's. So Macy's is still involved, and they have come up with a completely brand new parade with, I believe it's 15 floats, 13 balloons flying overhead. I mean, 16 if you count the balloon heads on one of the floats. So it's brand new parade. They finally have integrated some of their Universal IP, for lack of a better term, which is the parade has Despicable Me, Shrek, and Madagascar characters. And it is a bigger parade. It is a longer parade than the Macy's parade. It is almost 25 minutes long. And actually, the parade is so long that, you know, it comes out in, you know, down Hollywood Boulevard in front of the, you know, the Pantages Theater across from Mel's Drive-In. And as, you know, as like the Macy's parade, Santa Claus is the end of the parade with the Macy's, the two little Macy's star balloons at the end. As the parade, end of the parade is going down Hollywood Boulevard and turning where Terminator used to be, the beginning of the parade is coming in front of Mel's, back into the back of the thing. So the parade takes up almost the entire parade route.
Wow.
It is an impressive parade. It really is next level. The floats, you know, are the driverless floats like the Superstar Parade. But the floats are, I guess the word I was looking for is like, they are stunning and very modern. A lot of LED lighting. This parade, you know, even though, you know, during certain times this year, it's going to start, when it starts, it'll be dusk. You know, the sun will be setting, and usually by the time the end of the parade gets there, it's going to be dark. And this parade was really meant to be seen at night. It's got a lot of impressive lighting. They've added more lighting. To me, they've added more lighting along the parade route. And now, you know, it used to be you had the confetti drops at different points during the parade, but you also have snow now during different points of the parade.
And the lighting, I'm going to stop you there. The lighting the lighting's really cool, because I've noticed over the years when it was just the Macy's parade, lighting was very scarce. I remember they actually started to add lights to the floats, like the Christmas bulb one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember the floats used to have like lights pointing at, once it would get to where they were running the parade at 8 o'clock at night, they would have like, you know, lights on the floats that like would be pointed to stuff on the floats. Now all the lighting is integrated into the floats. And then there's additional, They've added a lot of lighting along the parade route. On top of the fact that the Christmas decorations in the studios this year in Hollywood Boulevard and New York Street have lights integrated into the decorations. So, I mean, the streets are all lit up. You know, it's brand new lighting. It's, you know, snow machines or snow machines, if you want to get more specific there. So it's a very impressive parade, and it seems to be, it's sort of the surprise thing out of all the new holiday stuff coming this year, is a lot of, no one had really seen much of the parade at all. I mean, they had released a few renderings here or there, but not a lot. And so when that parade debuted last Thursday for media, that was the first time of anybody was seeing that parade. And I can pretty much universally say a lot of people were really blown away by it. I was blown away by that parade. I was not expecting that. And that, to me, as awesome as the Harry Potter stuff is, and we all expected it to be pretty cool, the parade to me is the shocker and really, you know, moves their holiday offerings into a whole other level now.
Yeah, it does. It seems like they've really upped it from the, I think a lot of people were getting, I don't know if I should say bored. Yeah. Tired of the Macy's parade. So this change was definitely welcomed by many, 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 many people.
Yeah. I mean, the other parade had ran for a long time, and it really felt dated and was sort of tired of it, you know. And this parade also integrates the new technology that's on the parade route, where the audio starts in phases along the parade route. So you're not listening, you know, when you used to be when you're on New York Street, you were listening for like that Macy's parade song over and over again for like 15 minutes before the parade would even get there. So, you know, it's all the new technology that they've added there has been integrated into this parade. So it's definitely a huge step in the right direction. And, you know, I mean, I love Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time parade, but that parade is like a decade old. Now
it's dated too.
it's dated. If it wasn't for the Disney characters, I mean, I don't think, you know, it would probably change your view of that parade. But this new parade at Universal really makes Once Upon a Christmas Time look very dated.
Yeah.
And for a lot of kids, the Despicable Me characters, the Shrek characters, the Madagascar characters, a lot of kids like them, you know, as much as the Disney characters. So, I mean, it's a very smart move by Universal, and, you know, the parade definitely has the ability to have more, you know, a few more characters possibly added to it in the future. You know, we'll wait and see.
There were a lot of people saying Shrek and Madagascar are too old to be featured in a parade, but people love those characters just as much as any Disney. There's kids that love those characters just as much as some kids love specific Disney characters that you would see in their Christmas parade.
Well, I think part of it is both Shrek and Madagascar have holiday specials that still run every year and are also are on Netflix and available on video. Shrek's, you know, there's four Shrek movies. That's a lot of movies. And there's another one coming on the way. And, you know, Madagascar, if you count the penguins, there was four Madagascar movies, plus a Penguins TV show, plus there's a King Julian TV show. So these characters haven't gone anywhere. They're still,
they're still kicking.
And, you know, you got to remember kids grow up on this stuff. And, you know, because of streaming, you know, first DVDs and Blu-rays and now streaming, this stuff hasn't gone anywhere. It's readily available and kids are still watching it all the time. So I don't think it's dated to have them in, and it makes sense because they, you know, both those properties have holiday specials. So, you know,
and the other subtle thing that I really liked, and I don't think a lot of people noticed, was these parade floats drive themselves. They're not being pulled by some Ford or Dodge truck.
No, they use the driverless technology that they use on the Superstar parade. And
which was really nice.
No, I mean, and that really makes it look that much more impressive too. And
yeah,
You combine that. And the other thing, you know, and some other people I've talked to, the first time I heard the music, the parade has its own original score. And the first time I heard it, I was like, this is different. But like seeing the parade a second time, I really like the score of this parade. It's very subtle. And then, of course, it's integrated with, you know, special music cues on the floats. You know, some of the floats have their own separate music that plays. But the score for this parade is almost like a subtle earworm, because I was leaving the park Saturday and next thing you know, I'm like humming something and it's the melody from the parade. So
it's catchy.
It's catchy. And, but not in an, oh, it's not like, you know, you remember the Macy's theme was very loud and in your face, and this is more subtle, but it blends really well. You know, the best way I describe this parade is modern. It feels like a 21st century parade that we're seeing.
Yeah, that's what you mentioned to me and a couple other people. I heard you say that word a lot. So,
I think it's really good, and I'm looking forward to seeing it many more times this year. And like I said, it still ends on you still have Santa lighting the Christmas tree on New York Street. That's still there. That's still part of the show. So that's, you know, still the prime viewing spot if you want to see the Christmas tree get lit. Which, I mean, speaking of, you know, the Christmas tree, it's got that's received an update too. It's got some new style decorations and lighting on it. As with, you know, a lot of the new decorations throughout the studios, the studios has gotten a lot of new decorations, and including London has, you know, lights and decorations on the outside, which, I mean, I guess we can start moving into Harry Potter, and, you know, Diagon Alley has decorations. You know, we sort of talked the decorations last time. And Diagon Alley has a new holiday show. Celestine Warbeck has her own holiday show because they've sort of created, she has her own holiday album and she's promoting the album. So, you know, there's a bunch of original songs for a holiday show. And I got to see that too. And it's a fun show. You know, it's a nice little addition, you know, that
I love Celestine, so I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, no, it's a fun show. And then, you know, as we move over to like Hogsmeade, the Frog Choir has got their own holiday show. And so, you know, both shows they've created some brand new songs for. And they're all, you know, some of them are a little funny. And, you know, they're both well put together shows and a nice little additional diversion and adds to the atmosphere of having Christmas in the Wizarding World.
And Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, then, you know, I'll let you get on this part. The whole big thing with Christmas in the Wizarding World is the show on Hogwarts Castle.
Yeah, the magic of Christmas at Hogwarts, excuse me. This was really cool. I think it's some of the best projection mapping I've seen. I went to the, me and you went to the annual pass preview earlier this, or was it this week?
Last Friday.
Yeah, it was last Friday. like I said, time's flying. Halloween, now it's Christmas.
Yes.
Time is just one big blur. But the projection mapping is probably some of the best I've seen next to some of the stuff they do at Magic Kingdom on the castle.
It's impressive, and it's even more impressive considering that castle is not a flat surface. It's a lot of angles. They, you know, according to Michael Aiello, they use 24 projectors for the show. And yeah, I mean, that is a lot.
I don't know how many Disney uses on Cinderella's castle.
I don't think it's, I'm pretty sure it's not 24. But you, like you said, you're dealing with more of a straightforward flat, you have angles to the castle, Cinderella's castle, but not as much as you do with Hogwarts Castle.
And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, pretty much like a V-shaped, you know?
Yeah, and on top of the extra surfaces you have in different parts of the castle. So, I mean, the projection is, I agree with you, it's stunning. It's an impressive show. It's well done. And the crazy thing is it feels very natural. It's not just projecting images onto the castle. everything in the show has a purpose.
The whole show flowed really good, which is what I liked. I was hoping they weren't just going to throw some Harry Potter Christmas stuff up on the castle and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, when the show's not going, the projection on the castle makes it look snow covered, and you know, way it would look during the holiday season, and then the show just sort of begins, and on top of the projection on the show, you have lights in the trees around Hogwarts Castle, and those LED lights are actually shaped like pine cones, so like during the day, you won't really notice them there. So, I mean, it was very well thought out, very well done. You know,
the lights were a big surprise to me when I was watching it. I was like, oh, there's twinkling lights at the bottom of the castle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the images projected on the castle look very three dimensional. The Christmas tree that's projected looks very like, it looks like a, you know, if you're looking at it from the right angle, it looks like a real tree is right there in front of the castle. And yeah, and
the ball scene. That's the other Yule, one that was really,
yeah, the Yule ball scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they use, you know, paper mache looking versions of the different characters.
And it looks like the castle almost like opens up. It's really cool.
Yes. Yeah, it's really well done. The Weasley twins make an appearance, and then the finale to me is just that's where the projection goes to a whole new level, and it's just stunning with the way the finale is. And there's even a little bit of pyro thrown in, which I don't think any of us were expecting.
I think the pyro was a pretty big surprise to me. I wasn't expecting them to pump pyro into this thing every night, but apparently they are. So yay for fireworks.
Yeah. And as of right now, they still haven't, there's no set schedule. It starts at dusk and it runs through park close. And apparently they've been also doing a show a little bit after park. They do a show right at park close. And I guess due to the fact that the crowds have been so big so far, which was to be expected, that was the one issue we've always wondered about trying to do a projection show on that castle.
Yeah. Because the area in front of the castle was not made. It's not like Cinderella's castle at Magic Kingdom that has this huge courtyard in front of it.
No, it's not made, and it doesn't have Hollywood's Hogsmeade has like a back area behind Three Broomsticks and like an outdoor queue for Forbidden Journey that can hold people. So there's not as much space in front of this castle. So I mean They're obviously, I've heard over the weekend, it was basically, in the evening, you would go in through the entrance of Hogsmeade and you would have to exit through Jurassic Park. And, they were hoping that people would watch the show and then move on. But I have heard the best thing to do if you want to see the show when not where it's not as crowded is go towards the end of park hours. That's the best time, and that they were showing the show at the end at the end of the night, and then they ran it one more time after the park was technically closed. So we'll see if they keep that up, and it's obviously going to be an issue as it gets closer to Christmas as far as how they're going to handle the crowds.
Yeah, and speaking of like when and where to watch it, we watched it on the Jurassic Park bridge when you're leaving Hogsmeade going to Jurassic Park, the popular photo spot there. And then we went around and we watched it. Excuse me. We watched it pretty much right in front of the frog choir stage. And I think that's the best area to watch it. It's nice to watch it over on the Jurassic Park bridge because you get more of a view of the trees with the pine cone lights. And I thought that was pretty neat, but just as a better overall experience, I think over in front of the frog choir stage is the better viewing point.
Yeah, it's definitely the better viewing area. And, this is a show, that you can watch from different angles and you'll notice different things. There's so much going on in the projections that you're going to notice different things each time you watch it. And, as far as, the decorations in Hogsmeade, they're nice too. You know, and the only thing we've seen food wise is there's like a holiday feast at the Three Broomsticks.
Yeah, there's a holiday feast. I somebody shared a picture with me on Twitter, and it's your typical Thanksgiving-ish type feast with turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce and vegetables. And
yeah, so that's the only thing we've seen so far holiday-wise, food. I mean, it was touted in the original press release. I don't know if they, you know, had to scale that back a little bit. You know, but that's always been one thing. Universal hasn't really done as much as seasonal food stuff as like Disney or even SeaWorld does. So,
and it seems like they stepped it up this year with Halloween Horror Nights. So it surprises me that they don't have more holiday Christmas type food than.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see if maybe there's something else that they just, you know, haven't gotten around to putting out there yet.
And, yeah. It's early. So who knows?
And of course, and to wrap it all up, Grinchmas is back. It's the same show. Seuss Landing is all decorated. The Who's are out and about, and of course, you know, on select nights, Mannheim Steamroller is back, doing their concerts. Always a great show, and ends with a shortened version of how the Grinch stole Christmas. So, you know, that's still there, you know, and so between all that, all those offerings, that is a lot of Christmas stuff. And Universal, you know, I think we both agree they have massively upped their game this year. And
definitely,
yeah, they're definitely giving, for a lot of us locals, you know, SeaWorld to us puts on the best holiday celebration.
Yeah, I've always said that myself. I've had some people look at me like I have 10 heads when I tell them SeaWorld does the best Christmas, festivities, and I stand by myself. This year, because Universal really stepped it up.
Yeah, Universal really stepped it up, and you know, I mean, SeaWorld gives you a lot of bang for your buck, but I definitely say, you know, this year Universal is giving you a lot for your dollar. And they are definitely, I'm hoping this is the beginning of maybe a few more things they're going to add to holidays. This is a big step forward, and maybe they've got a few other plans to up their game.
And we have a lot. I hope this is just the beginning. And we have a lot of this stuff up on our Facebook. I live stream the full castle projection show, and we have the parade
and castle show on YouTube. And then, you know, you can check out our Twitter feed for all kinds of pictures and videos from both parks, and we'll be there throughout the holidays, you know.
Yep. Well, this is, like I said, it's early. There's still plenty of time for us to get out there and enjoy this Christmas stuff. So moving on, we're going to move over to Hollywood Studios and talk about Star Tours and some interesting new developments there with the Star Tours attraction and its recent update. And you got to ride it last night?
Yeah, I got to ride it Monday night, and it's, you know, we were teased, you know, early on that, oh, you're going to get to go to the Planet Crate, which has been featured in, you know, the trailers for The Last Jedi, which is like sort of the, I guess it's sort of mineral type planet. And with, you know, where, you know, there's the battle with the Gorilla Walkers, apparently it's going to take place. And so we find out, like, right as they're, they finally say, oh, here it comes. It's like, okay, now you're also, it's going to end with you going to the planet Batuu, which is the name of the planet where Star Wars Galaxy Edge will be, the Star Wars land that's coming. Oh, and then also Poe Dameron and Kylo Ren and, you know, and the First Order stormtroopers will now be in it. And you will actually, the entire ride right now, it will take place in the current trilogy universe. So, I mean, you still begin, you know, on, you know, your Star Tours speeder, and, you know, you're either getting stopped by stormtroopers, First Order stormtroopers, or Kylo Ren, and then you take off, and then next thing you know, you're on Jakku, And Finn shows up.
Sorry.
No, Jack, you're next thing you know, you're on the scene from Jakku that they first came out when episode 7 came out.
Yeah, because so, they updated Star Tours with The Force Awakens.
And yeah, so
The Last Jedi. So
yeah, so and then you when I got to ride it, Poe Dameron shows up as the hologram and it's Oscar Isaac, you know. And
it's awesome.
Which is all, I mean, he's like, here's an Academy Award winning, but he's been nominated for an Academy Award, and he's on a ride now. That's and I believe it's like, I believe he can show up, BB-8 can show up. And then next thing you know, we're on Crait, and that scene is really cool. It's really well done. Doesn't really give you away anything that you haven't already seen, but it was pretty neat. And then, you know, it ends up on you fly over and into Batuu, the, you know, basically Star Wars land, and that's how the ride ends. And you know, there are still going to be different combinations and different things that can happen, but for right now, they're going to stick with the current trilogy universe when you ride the ride. And you know, whether once, you know, 6 months or a year from now, they may change things. And we've heard everything from that maybe half the speeders will do one thing, we'll do the current trilogy, and the other half will take place in the first six movies. Who knows?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see as Galaxy's Edge gets closer how Disney is going to change and tweak Star Tours.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do about Star Tours. Because I mean, we've heard, you know, all kinds of different rumors from everything from Big Hero 6 to Zootopia that something else, you know, that something else will go into that simulator ride. But I got to imagine capacity wise, I don't think there's much they can do about it for the time when Star Wars Land opens, because they're going to need all the rides open in that park.
Yeah, and like I said, it'll be interesting to see what they do with it, but that ride technology itself is so dated. The old school hydraulic simulator technology is just so, it's dated.
So. It's dated, but I mean, you know, I can't imagine them not putting something else in there, because that park will need every bit of capacity that it has to have.
And as Disney's shown, it's easy to update as far as, you know, just the visuals and the what you see and what you experience. So that gives it some longevity there too.
So it's definitely fun. I think right now it's, you know, if for once it does tell a fully coherent story, and that's to me, you know, one of the things that's been sort of lacking with when Star Tours 2.0 started is, you know, you were bouncing around different eras, and now you're just in the one era. And so it definitely tells a better, more coherent story for the time being. So,
yeah, that's
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
That's always bugged me when they did the Force Awakens update. It just seems so sporadic with the different scenes, you know, it was all over the place. So it'll be interesting to see as Galaxy's Edge gets closer, what they're going to do with it, what's going to happen to Star Tours. But it's updated, and that's good for everybody, right? They started it with Galactic Knights when the update happened.
I don't think Galactic Knights has happened yet, because that happens.
I was going to say that's later, but I remember reading something that the updates were going to start with Galactic Knights. So I don't know. What? Interesting.
So last week, something happened in the Orlando area.
Yeah, well, that's it for Star Tours talk. We're going to move on and quick wrap up IAPA coverage. I was there for only one day, which was plenty of time for me. And you were there, I mean, kind of sporadic times.
Yeah. I mean, I was there there with you the Tuesday where most of the press conferences happened. And then I popped in Thursday and Friday just to walk around and see stuff I hadn't seen. This year, the press announcements are always fun, but there wasn't really anything mind-blowing or shocking this year. It was the return of, more VR.
Yeah, VR was heavy again this year.
Which, is great for smaller installations, but, we've yet to see a good way to use it on a major theme park level. So, it was a lot of the same VR and a lot of the same concepts were tossed around. We saw a few new concepts. We have a video up of Dynamic Attractions debuted an all-terrain dark ride vehicle that can basically run on anything, off-road, over hills, down steps.
And you can totally even get
trackless.
You can even get airtime in it. They showed it like jumping like a ramp.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
So, there was that, that's definitely got some of us theme park fans thinking of different ideas on the use of that kind of technology.
And they had one there. They were teasing a G.I. Joe trackless or all-terrain dark ride, which was really interesting, almost as if a theme park had already approached them about it. Or it was really interesting to see just G.I. Joe there.
Yeah. They teased some concepts and, they had was a Sky Cycle and they, teased a concept for that. And that seemed to be similar to, the Flight of Passage ride vehicle.
Yeah. It was pretty much their version of Flight of Passage.
that another company, created that with Disney. So, That's what happens in the theme park industry is one company comes up with one concept and another company comes up with a different concept similar to that. We got to see a lot of, coaster cars unveiled, which, always happens usually, especially on the Tuesday, the first day there.
During all the press releases, they had Skyline, which unveiled the, what was it?
Help the Harley Quinn,
crazy coaster car.
Yeah.
For their new coaster going into Discovery Kingdom.
Yeah.
And then Rocky Mountain Construction debuted Twisted Cyclone. That's the name of it, right? Twisted Cyclone.
Yeah. It's going into Six Flags Over Georgia.
Coming to Six Flags Over Georgia. And that was a cool looking train. It's kind of got this old 50s, 60s roadster look to it.
Probably the coolest train was Gravity Group's wooden coaster that's going to Sesame Place in Pennsylvania, and that was Oscar the Grouch. And Oscar the Grouch is like driving. It's like the front of it's him like driving a taxi, and that was probably the coolest looking coaster train that we saw while we were there.
Yeah, Wacky Taxi, it's called, and it'll be going to Sesame Place up in Pennsylvania. Correct.
Yeah.
And so, then here locally, we had SeaWorld. They debuted the rafts for Infinity Falls.
Yeah.
Which was nothing spectacular. It was cool to see them. Your typical round raft rides. It did look like they had a little bit more padding, or not padding, but protection, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm assuming that's due to the fact that the steepness of that drop, and it's should be an interesting ride. I mean, it definitely fills a void at that park, and
Journey to Atlantis is such a weird ride right now after they updated it from the last refurb. Journey to Atlantis is in such a weird spot right now with what's going on with it. So a new water ride will be gladly welcome to SeaWorld Orlando.
Yeah. So, a lot of different ride debuts. thing we always like is to check out. They have a lot of the new arcade games, and there was some fun different ones there. It was like Family Guy bowling. Bowling seemed to be a big thing at this year at IAPA. I saw a lot of bowling, including like a full size they even had like AMF had like a full size actual bowling lane set up.
Yeah,
but a lot of mini like bowling lanes and stuff. So that seemed to be a very prevalent idea, and that used either actual pins or virtual pins. And I don't know why there was so many like bowling games this year, but there was a lot of bowling games.
Lots of bowling. Oh, and then SNS Sensei, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What is it now?
Sansei.
We'll just call them SNS. They debuted a updated version of the Steeplechase. Old school Steeplechase roller coaster ride, which I didn't quite understand, because that is such a low capacity attraction. Their big thing was they wanted to go back to the classic aerodynamic rides and bring something to life again and update it and make it cool again. And they went with Steeplechase. It looked cool, but I just don't see a park, aside from the parks that already have it, like Blackpool, snatching it up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that, may go into like a smaller park, because it's, we've seen a lot of low capacity coaster concepts lately. Like, I mean, the single rail coasters that are going into Fiesta Texas.
Wonder Woman's Golden Lasso coaster.
Yeah, that aren't going to have a lot of capacity. And I mean, I guess if you have 10 or more coasters in your park, I mean, it sort of makes sense. But, still, it's like, when you open a brand new coaster, you're going to have insane lines for something that, can't handle the capacity. So it's like, it's neat to see new concepts, but I just don't understand, why would you want to build something that can't put a lot of, if it can't put at least 1,000 people an hour through, then, you're basically building a ride most people can't even ride when they're there at the park.
I mean, we're used to insane Disney crowds. So maybe these companies are trying to appeal to the smaller parks, like the Kennywoods and the, just the smaller parks, and not the Disneys and the Universals, and with these lower capacity attractions, because you won't see any of these rides at Universal or Disney, because they need capacity eating attractions. So they're cool looking, I just don't see it coming to any parks here locally. Fun Spot. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this year there wasn't anything groundbreaking or shattering. IAPA is definitely something, if you're a theme park fan, I mean, it's definitely something you should try to go to at least once. I mean, it's neat to see all the technology and the different companies that create all this stuff we enjoy.
Yeah, so it's always fun going, even if there's nothing incredibly groundbreaking or amazing. It's always a fun time to go. Like, I just went one day this year, which was plenty enough for me, because I've been going for 10, 15 years. So,
I've been going on and off for the last 10, 15 years, and it's become more now just catching up with people who I, may only see once a year, because, there's quite a few European people, people from Europe I know, and this is when I get to see them, when they come to IAPA. So it's always a good time. It's always fun. And it's definitely something you should check out at least once if you're a theme park fan.
Yeah. And we did a lot of coverage on, I think Twitter was our big one. You did a live stream on the Facebook page, but Twitter at Thrill Geek, we have a lot of photos from the show floor. So if you want to scroll through there and
on YouTube, we have some videos of different, like, different press conferences, different unveilings of stuff. So, be sure to check that out.
So, all right, Mr. Pop Culture, you have some movie. If you want to review them really quick, we can, you can call it a review. Coco, you got to go to the Disney Parks blog meetup for Coco.
Yeah. Yes, I actually got into a Disney Parks blog meetup, and and it was we just saw Coco. We did not see Olaf's whatever something something Frozen Adventure or whatever it's called.
Oh, the new Frozen short.
Yeah, well, it's not really a short. It's a 21 minute featurette. Is basically it's a 20 minute what was supposed to be a TV special.
Yeah.
That they put in front of that they're putting in front of Coco, which
God, that thing's 20 minutes long. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't know if I can handle 20 minutes of Olaf.
But we didn't see that. They just went straight into Coco, and I gotta say, it is one of Pixar's better movies. You know, I took my fiance Sin, and she is Mexican American, and she loved the movie, and she felt they really did their research and they really nailed Day of the Dead and all the different cultural things.
Which is really interesting that you mentioned that, because I don't know if you've seen online, but apparently this movie is already breaking records in Mexico.
Yeah, it's already the highest grossing animated movie of all time in Mexico. And I think it's either past or on the verge of becoming the highest grossing movie in Mexico. So, cause they released it back when the Day of the Dead actually happened. So Mexico's had it for a lot longer than the rest of the world. You know, the rest of the world is getting it this week.
And, yeah. I was seeing all these articles about it breaking records in Mexico. I was like, did they get it early?
Yeah, they got it early. And the funny thing is a lot of theaters stopped showing the Olaf, short before because too many people were complaining about it. So the movie itself, it's you know, it's a great story with a couple little twists in there, and the animation is stunning, especially when he crosses the bridge and you get to the land of the dead, and it's just the animation is jaw-dropping. The story is great. It, you know, as usual with Pixar, it will definitely, there's moments in that movie that will make you shed a tear and
a tear jerker action.
Oh yeah. And, it's a really beautiful movie. Emphasizes family a lot. It's got a nice storyline and a nice message to it. And, I really enjoyed it. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it again.
That's good, because following up to its release, I follow a lot of Disney fans, and they've been so wishy-washy with this Coco film, and I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I couldn't really pinpoint what their issues were, but there were a lot of people that were down-talking it and just being really negative about it, and I didn't quite understand it, so... To hear that it's a really good heartfelt film is something good.
Yeah, it's the best animated film I've seen this year, and it's one of the best films I've seen this year. So
that's good. Now let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum and talk about the lovely Justice League, which now we want to talk about discussion online.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of back and forth over you know, how people feel about this movie. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I am one of those people who didn't hate Batman versus Superman as much as a lot of people did. That was definitely a flawed movie. You know, it had a lot of issues, you know, and then Wonder Woman this past summer was a great movie, an excellent movie. I mean, Gal Gadot, however you want to say her name, she is Wonder Woman, period. You know, it's amazing how good she is in that role, and she's great in this movie. The movie, you know, we've seen all the, you know, the things in online of, you know, the amount of reshoots they did and a lot of the different things, and you can definitely tell certain things have been injected into this movie. There's a lot more, more character beats than there was in like Batman v Superman. Yeah, I thought it was fun. You know, is it perfect? No, it's not a perfect movie. And, but you know, I sometimes feel, you know, as much as I love the Marvel movies, I sometimes feel that they get a pass from a lot of people. You know, people seem to ignore giant glaring plot holes that are in a lot of the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
But I really like this one. You know, I thought the Flash, you know, steals the show when it comes to comedy wise, and Ezra Miller was really good as the Flash. You know, Cyborg had a great character arc. I know he's not as well known, but he is part of the modern Justice League in the DC universe. And, you know, most people just know him from the Teen Titans cartoons. And then, you know, no shocking here, not a spoiler, that Superman was going to come back to life. And
yeah,
I thought Ben Affleck did a really good job as Bruce Wayne Batman, and really showed, you know, what had changed since what happened in Batman versus Superman. And of course, you know, Wonder Woman was awesome as always. So I like the movie. You know, yes, it has some issues, you know, story plot hole wise, but I thought it was fun. And, you know, the person I was with enjoyed it too. And they weren't that fond of Batman v Superman. So, you know, and I know that the critics haven't been kind in this movie, but it seems like the audience reaction is a little bit audience. You know, people who've seen it there seems to be a lot more people who like it, non-critics. So,
yeah, it seems, you know, like, not surprisingly, it seems like the general consensus is better than Batman versus Superman, but not better than Wonder Woman, which isn't too surprising.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, once again, you know, you're dealing with a, you know, the main villain is CGI, and that's, you know, that's one of the issues DC is going to have, period, is all of their major villains, a lot of them outside of Batman, aren't human beings. They're aliens. And it's just no way you're going to have to do them as CGI. You know, which is going to be the interesting thing with Avengers Infinity War. I mean, because we've sort of seen, you know, Thanos, but Thanos is CG, is motion cap, and is CGI, and you're going to be dealing with a villain who the entire movie is CGI, which was the same way in Ultron, but this is going to be a little bit different because it's a flesh and blood character as opposed to a robot.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know, I liked it. I hope it didn't do as well at the box office as they hoped, but we'll see how it does, you know, over the next few weeks and what that bodes with the DC movie universe. I mean, Aquaman's coming, you know, next November, you know, Wonder Woman 2, but we'll see if they continue this, you know, if they sort of split them back off into their own separate little worlds and not have a shared universe anymore. So,
yeah. And you've got the saga with Ben Affleck and Batman, what's going on there.
Yeah. Whether he wants to do, I really like him. I know there's some people who don't, but I mean, we finally got a Batman who feels like a comic book Batman. Who's not, you know, he's not like, you know, he actually uses a voice disguiser to, you know, to make him have that deep voice instead of like Christian Bale's and his stuff that he did in the Dark Knight trilogy. You know, so it's like, you know, there's good and bad about the movie, but I'm hoping it does well enough that, you know, now that Zack Snyder will no longer be a part of this, that, you know, they can, that, you know,
go ahead.
That, you know, we'll be able to get another Justice League movie, but it is sort of disappointing that to see that it didn't do as well as they thought it was going to do, which is shocking because it's the Justice League. I mean,
yeah,
they were around. They, you know, it's the greatest heroes, and it's just interesting that how it's doing.
Real quick, did you see the rumor that Jake Gyllenhaal was going to play Batman?
Yeah. No, I no. If they redo it, if they do redo Batman again, I imagine they're going to go with a younger Batman.
Yeah,
because, you know, they can't.
Not one of these old grumpy guys.
And it's cool. It's cool that they went with an older Batman. It was something different. And like I said, I've liked him in the role. I feel like for once we're getting someone who can do both Bruce Wayne and Batman. Not just one that's usually better at one than the other. That's always been the issue with live action Batmans in the past. I liked it. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. And I got to see it at the new Dolby Cinema at the AMC at Disney Springs. And let me tell you, that theater is
I was
wow.
going to ask you about that. If you don't mind me asking, how much is it?
It's not as expensive as IMAX. It's definitely less expensive than that.
Yeah.
But you get the nice recliner seats. The sound is, the sound is jaw dropping.
Well, with the name Dolby on it, I would hope so.
Yeah. The sound is dry. There's subwoofers underneath each one of those seats.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And then there's just, when the lights are turned on, there's speakers all over the ceiling along the walls.
Yeah.
And then the actual image is, I would say it's as good, maybe a little bit better than the digital IMAX. It's pretty impressive, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more movies at that theater. I definitely recommend it. It was a really cool experience there.
And they only have one theater with that, right? They just redid one.
Yeah, they do. They redid theater number one, and the screen. I mean, the screen in that one was already pretty big to begin with. I think it's still just a little bit smaller than the digital IMAX one at the Universal CityWalk one.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously nothing's as big as the one at the Regal at Point Orlando, but
yeah, that thing's monstrous.
It's definitely impressive, and really, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more movies in that theater.
So, real quick, we're going to touch on Walking Dead, the latest Walking Dead episode, because we only got, three more episodes, I think, left until they go on their mid-season break?
Yeah, and I mean, we're still, on the same day?
I believe so, as far as timeline.
Yeah, I mean, and this was, we finally got back to Negan, and so it was a lot of Negan talking real slowly.
And he whispers a lot in this episode.
Yes.
So we found out what happens with Father Gabriel after he gets trapped in the, what was that, like a semi trailer?
I think it's just like a trailer, like a typical, like, you know, trailer, like a construction trailer or
like
something,
like a mobile park trailer.
A portable trailer. And they get trapped in there, and it's a lot of the episode is just them talking back and forth, and we learn a little bit more about Negan, and and we still, it doesn't totally concentrate on them. It also sees some of Rick and Daryl in the aftermath of last week, and
yeah, what's going on with those two? They get into it. They get a little fist fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think Daryl, decides that he just wants to try to end it now, not thinking about what the consequences that could happen if he did what he was planning to do. And Rick, Rick is sort of like scaling back and going, we've got to think long term here. And especially, Rick and Daryl know that the kingdom are out of it now, because they basically have lost everybody except for Carol, King Ezekiel, and what's his face. And, that they've got to, stick to the plan, and Daryl, decides he doesn't want to do that, but that's sort of going on. And then the issue that's going on, with the saviors between the soldiers and the workers, and there's a lot of back and forth there, but as shocking, no shock there that Negan escapes from, they get out of that trailer and back into the Savior compound. So that's sort of where.
And we see the typical escape covering themselves in Walker guts. So
which worked only to a point.
Yeah.
But they still somehow managed to escape, even though they don't say it, but did Gabriel get bit? That's the
at the end of the episode when he was discovered by I'm drawing a blank here.
The guy with the mullet.
Eugene. There we go.
Eugene, yeah.
When Eugene discovered him, he's kind of on the floor in a sweat and just doesn't look good. So,
because the question is, did he get bit, or is that from throwing the guts on all over his body, his clothes and stuff? Because that's one of the things that's been brought up a few times, is the reason, I think Robert Kirkman's brought up, and on Talking Dead, that the reason they can't do that all the time is because you're basically putting diseased stuff on your body, and there's a risk that you could get sick from that. So
speaking of Eugene, we also have the whole thing between Dwight and Eugene as to who's the rat, who's ratting out the saviors. So that'll be interesting to see where that goes, because it seems like Dwight still isn't a prime suspect, and as far as him revealing stuff and helping the others out.
Yeah.
And
so, I mean,
Eugene is, so it's really interesting to see what happens with who gets blamed for spilling out information. So,
yeah, I mean, cause Eugene has obviously covered his ass first, but he has done a few little things to help out Rick and them, not a lot, but a few little things, since he's become part of the Saviors. But we'll see where, if Negan finally finds out who the traitor is.
I'm still hoping Eugene makes a comeback and goes back to being on the Ricktatorship.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Because
I said we got a few more episodes, and then we'll have to wait till February.
Yep, the mid-season break. So three more episodes, and then the long wait begins for the second half. So All Out War, The Walking Dead. Interesting first half of the season so far, and we'll definitely see where it goes. So, all right, I think that's it, right? We covered everything.
Yeah, that's
pop culture goodies.
This week's pop podcast.
Theme park goodies. As usual, follow us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Thrill Geek.
Yeah, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ThrillGeek. You can follow me at Culture and Thrills on Twitter and Instagram. We got t-shirts if you go to ThrillGeek.com. We've got t-shirts available.
So, really quick on that, since I've updated the website, the link isn't on the homepage, so I got to get it up there. But you can just go to thrillgeek.com/shop and that'll work. But there's nothing on the homepage right now because I just completely updated the whole website, and there's still a few things that need to be worked out. But thrillgeek.com/shop if you want a Thrill Geek t-shirt. And
yes, and they make wonderful gifts for your family and friends.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking about, I can do promos and stuff, and I was actually thinking about doing something, a little Black Friday promo code or something. So I'll see if I can get around to doing that before Black Friday is here. Speaking of which,
or Cyber Monday.
yeah, that's true. I forgot Cyber Monday's a thing. I always forget about that. And speaking of Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Don't eat too much. And there was one more thing that I wanted to mention. Oh, our iTunes. Please, if you can, write a review. It really helps us out. Take 30 seconds, a minute, and just fill out the review section on the Thrill Geek podcast on there. I would greatly appreciate it, and I'm sure Barry would too.
Oh, yeah. And coming next week, we will have more theme park holiday coverage, and we'll talk a little bit more about some Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah, we'll definitely chat more about Christmas stuff as it's early in the season, and some Harry Potter theme park stuff and some Harry Potter pop culture stuff that we're going to talk about. So until next time, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys again next time.
See you in the parks.